Welcome once again to On Mic with Jordan Rich, the podcast where I get the chance to sit down and talk with, and you get the chance to meet, broadcasters, actors, voice artists, writers, producers, musicians, and those involved in the performing arts. And often my guests, as is the case today, have a message worth conveying. Lisa Fenn is here with me, former producer of award-winning human interest pieces on ESPN. Now, one such piece dealt with an unlikely duo, two high school athletes brought together by disability and anguish, two who fought hard together to rise above it all. Leroy Sutton, who lost his legs when he was a child in a train accident, and D'Artagnan Crockett, legally blind and with no place to call home. Well, Leroy could often be seen riding on the back of D'Artagnan, literally. Lisa will tell us their story, but our chat will also center on how Lisa became personally involved and formed a friendship with the two after filming. Here's a brief bit of audio from the follow-up ESPN piece called Carry On, which also happens to be the title of Lisa Fenn's book.
I'm Tom Rinaldi in Cleveland, Ohio, to tell you a story that started nearly 4 years ago. It's a story I thought was over after we initially broadcast it back in the summer of 2009. I was partially right. For me, it was over. But for the woman who produced it, Lisa Fenn, and the two young men we profiled, Leroy Sutton and D'Artagnan Crockett, the story was just beginning of three people who entered each other's lives and never left.
And our job, we're always on the lookout for stories that are inspiring in nature. For people who have overcome something. Just looking at the two of them, you knew they overcame something. It was a startling image. One of those things that you want to look at, to absorb, yet you feel like you probably shouldn't be staring.
Notice your match, right?
Saw me.
They were inseparable. You could tell there was a brotherhood there.
Everything in life, he takes it all in stride. When we first met, we instantly like had this like bond. I just know I can count on him. Just like for anything.
He has his struggles, I have mine. We had our struggles, we're still going through them.
8 years before we met Leroy Sutton, his future was shaped on a set of train tracks while walking to school in Akron, Ohio.
There was rocks and gravel, and I kind of just slipped and just kind of just went under.
His backpack caught by one of the passing cars, Leroy was pulled beneath a slow-moving freight train. Both his legs were crushed.
I just asked why. That's all I did the whole time I was in the hospital. I just asked why. Why? When I tried to go to sleep, I'd end up hearing the sound of a train. And it just woke me back up.
By the time we met Leroy in Cleveland, he'd already been living as a double amputee for 8 years.
The day we went to film at Leroy's house and watched how he gets up the stairs to his grandmother's house and how he lifts that wheelchair over his head.
Lisa, great to welcome you here. What a story in Carry On. I've been reading about it. How did you happen upon this story? Just give us the background.
It was 2009, and I had been working as a feature producer at ESPN for about 10 years. I covered professional athletes as well as amateur athletes, really anyone who had an inspiring story against the backdrop of sports. Mm-hmm. So one particular morning, my father phoned me from Cleveland, which is where he's from, or where he still lived and mm-hmm. where I'm from, and he alerted my attention to a photograph in the Cleveland newspaper that morning of two high school wrestlers. One of them had lost his legs in a childhood train accident. He was a double amputee, and he was riding on the back of his teammate, who is legally blind. And I had seen a lot of things in my career, but I had never seen a photograph like that before. It was compelling. It was, if I had to put a tagline to it, it was essentially the one who could not walk being carried by the one who couldn't see.
Oh, my goodness. And let's mention the names of these gentlemen, too, because they're the central characters. Mm-hmm. Who are they?
Leroy Sutton is the boy who was struck by the train, and his best friend, D'Artagnan Crockett, was his ride.
How did they come together? How did this happen? Was it through organized sport or school or what?
Yes, they attended a public high school in Cleveland, and they met on the wrestling team. D'Artagnan was the best wrestler on the team, and Leroy had come out his senior year to give it a try. And both of them, despite their disabilities, were extremely athletic and muscular and really the only two that could handle each other in practice. Mm. So they quickly paired up that way. And through that, learned just how much else they had in common. They had both endured a lot of childhood trauma. They had spent periods of their young lives in homelessness. Neither of them had parents actively involved in their lives. And they just sort of, I guess, looked at each other and thought, you too.
When this came to you via your dad, always nice to have family inspiration helping out. And now it's a book and hopefully a movie and an amazing story. It sounds like fantasy, but it's real. Were you thinking, this is the one? This is the one. I've done a lot of interviews and met a lot of athletes and done a lot of stories, but nothing even comes close to this. In my mind, it's just amazing.
No, I don't think I realized how amazing it was until I got there. The photograph was so compelling that I did hop on a plane that morning and go find them. And as I watched them throughout that first weekend of their tournament, as they would carry one another on and off the bus, on and off the mats, and then later around their school, I was really even more compelled by them, because here were kids who had endured significant trauma and loss and homelessness and disability, and yet they didn't have a sense of entitlement. They weren't bitter. They just combated it all with this really special, cheerful friendship, and that was certainly not the norm in urban teen culture. So I knew at that point there was something really special about
it. One thing, of course, to just have a friendship. It's another thing to have a friendship and put it to use on the mat and actually perform in a sport that's very rigorous and very demanding.
Yeah, they were accomplished athletes, D'Artagnan. I think he finished his senior year 26-2, and then they were both state placers in the high school powerlifting competition, which is a big thing in Ohio. D'Artagnan was second in the state. Leroy was the bench press champion despite having no legs. So these were two really strong, resilient kids.
You did the piece for the network, and then when did you decide you had to do more?
Yeah, I did a feature called Carry On about their friendship for ESPN, and at that time, I was just sort of praying for one viewer with a big pocketbook and a big heart to want to help them. And instead, to my surprise, I got nearly 1,000 people who emailed me asking if they could donate money for college, for living expenses, whatever it was. And I had done nearly 200 stories, most of them inspirational in my career, and that had never happened to me before. Mm. So others saw the potential that I saw in these boys as well. The problem became that they didn't have any adults in their life who could harness those resources and help get them to the next step. So I began helping them apply to colleges and apply for disability benefits and just sort of, you know, feed them on a daily basis. And so that was the beginning of my involvement, but I really thought that I would just sort of pack them up and wave proudly from afar.
The first full-length book that you've produced, or have you produced other books?
Well, throughout my career, I, you know, wrote a lot of scripts and pieces for ESPN.com. But yes, it's
the reason I ask. I've interviewed thousands of authors, literally thousands in my career. And I remember Lauren Hillenbrand, who, of course, wrote Seabiscuit, when I talked with her, and I did several wonderful conversations with her. And I remember the story about the World War II prisoner of war, the impact that a story made on her that brought her to a new place. This really kind of changes you on the inside when you get to meet people like this and get to know them as well as you do, doesn't it?
Absolutely, because these were two boys who had just been through so much that was not their fault. And, you know, they had just been dealt a lousy hand in life. And I remember early on when Leroy in particular was reticent to talk to me, he just had a lot of issues trusting adults. And his coach said to me, you just got to give him time. He probably thinks you're just a turkey lady. And I said, a what?
What does that mean? Yes.
He said, you know, turkey lady, one of those white people who come over to our side of town on Thanksgiving and drop off the canned goods and go back home thinking you did a good deed.
Mm.
And I stood there for a while thinking, I don't think I'm a turkey. I don't know. Well, I'm not going to be one this time. And so, yeah, I was pretty determined from the beginning to just show these boys that there was just cause to trust and to love.
There's something about sports, of course. It takes us away from our regular routine. It gives us something to root for. Sport is now with the Olympics or any team sport is all about that concept of team. But in this case, you have two people who literally must rely on each other in the squared circle, if you will. No, it is a square, isn't it? Mm-hmm. On amateur wrestling. It's a total definition of what teamwork is all about.
Yeah, wrestling is one of the few sports that it's even beyond team. It's more of a brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I know when their story aired on ESPN, I heard from wrestling teams all over the country that were doing fundraisers because, yeah, it's a fraternity even more than other sports.
And it's a demanding sport, even on the amateur level, because you have to be weight savvy. You have to be in excellent shape with a lot of conditioning. I mean, it's really, when you sign up to be a wrestler, I'm told, and I have some friends who've done this, you're really signing your life over to this cause to be in great shape, fit the coach's ideal. All the more power to two people who have what would seem to be insurmountable disabilities.
Yeah, but I think they were craving that sort of structure. I mean, these were kids who had been transient for most of their youth. They didn't have great role models or parents in their lives. And so they really craved the structure, the sense of brotherhood, the role models that they had, and their two really good coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And as they said, they had felt like their whole life they were on the losing end of a battle. And in wrestling, it was the first time they tasted what it tasted like to win.
For victory, right.
Yeah.
Lisa, let me ask you about the difference between the printed word for you and doing all these productions and doing the film work for ESPN and others. I mean, it's a different medium, but you're still communicating. What's different about writing these things as opposed to filming them for you?
Well, when you're writing for television, it's all about brevity, you know, saying and showing as much as possible in as few succinct words as you can possibly find, because you have the pictures to really help drive the story. I found when I sat down to write a book, I had to completely reprogram my mindset because I had to tap into the power of description and sort of the slow arc of character development.
It's a real testament, though, when people say, either reviewers or readers say, it affected me, this story, and it brought me to tears. I mean, when you're reading something, you think it's a little different as opposed to seeing it up on the screen. And we'll hopefully see a movie version of your book soon. But it really is important to write those words in a way that will convey the feeling, the emotion.
Yeah, the 7-year journey that this book covers, I spent a lot of time in both tears and laughter. And that was the same journey that I hope to take readers on. And so now hearing from people and hearing from critics that's happening is quite fulfilling.
I'm only going to say this because I recently did a book review piece on this book, one of my favorites of all time, called I'm So Proud of You. Familiar with that?
It's not.
The Fred Rogers book. And it was written by a sports writer who got the assignment to interview Fred Rogers. Mr. Rogers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got little kids, so they'll get to know him even in posterity. But the point is, this book was so moving and so emotional. There's a movie in the works with Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers.
Yes, I've heard
that. These things have a way of transcending what's on the page, and people start to be, as you say, affected by it. And what an outpouring when your piece ran. That's incredible, as you mentioned. You got so many calls and so many offers to help. That must have made you feel pretty happy.
Yeah, well, it was unprecedented. I think what made me happiest was that it wasn't people just, you know, writing in to say that was great. It was that they had been deeply moved to either conquer obstacles of their own or become agents of change. Because what this book does, in part, is really put a face and a name to the children of poverty and demonstrate how much potential lies beneath there, and how that potential emerges when a committed sort of love enters their lives.
And by the way, you mentioned the name of the piece originally was Carry On. So, so many authors don't get a chance to put the title to the book. Some publisher does it for them. This is your title.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, and it really embodies, you know, many things, the physical act of carrying one another, but also just the perseverance and the resilience that these two boys shared, and how that act of carrying is really just a symbol for the caring.
Excellent. And a subtitle of Carry On by Lisa Fenn, with two N's, is a story of resilience, redemption, and an unlikely family.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best kind, the unlikely kind. Lisa, thank you for spending a few minutes with us. And by the way, do you miss, I know you're a mom now with two little ones, do you miss the hustle and bustle of ESPN and producing films and deadlines, or are you happy that's behind you?
No, I definitely miss it, and I think I'll get back there eventually. I still do a little bit of freelance work. But right now, Leroy D'Artagnan and I spend a lot of time traveling around the country and speaking and sharing our story. So I know that's where I'm supposed to be.
By the way, if I'm
right
ever
now.
Reborn in another life, I want a name like Leroy D'Artagnan. What
D'Artagnan,
a great name.
That
is so Three Musketeerish. I just love it. Lisa, thank you so much. What's the website for people who want to get more on the book and you?
It's www.carryonbook.com, and it's available on Amazon or anywhere books are sold.
And I've teased it a few times with you, but there's talk of a film.
Yeah, the film is in development. Our producer, Mark Sciardi, has done other emotive sports films like McFarland and Miracle and Million Dollar Arm.
Oh, wow. I've seen all of those. Those are great.
Yeah, so we're
Audiences
excited.
I love that. Well, congratulations. I wish you well, and thanks for stopping by to do the podcast. You know, this podcast is about people in the arts who are doing things in performance and broadcast, but it's also about why we do the things we do. And I really appreciate you sharing with me. I really do.
Thank you.
All right. Lisa Fenn, Carry On, a story of resilience, redemption, and an unlikely family. Read it today. You will be inspired. You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast produced by Chart Productions. Just click the Jordan Rich podcast link at chartproductions.com for more. Please subscribe, download, rate, and review us on Apple and any other podcast platform. Hey, it's great to be with you as always. Thanks for listening. Have a terrific day.